Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Daniel Dickinson at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's programme, the risk of outright violence is increasing against LGBT communities in cities, and the UN designates the cartoon character Wonder Woman as a gender empowerment ambassador. But first, South Sudan is at a tipping point and might slide back into war, a young woman activist from the country has warned. Rita Lopidia-Abraham, founder and executive director of EVE Organization for Women Development, briefed the UN Security Council during a Women, Peace and Security debate. 16 years ago, a resolution was adopted to recognize the pivotal role women have as peace builders, even though they continue to bear the brunt of war. During the last outbreak in violence in July, women in South Sudan were raped, forced out of their homes and robbed. If a regional protection force is not deployed as mandated by the council, she told Jocelyn Sambira, the situation will get much worse for women in her country.
South Sudan is quickly getting to a dangerous tipping point, probably reaching to an all-out conflict in the country. If you have been following the July conflict that erupted, women were raped, women were killed, their properties were looted, and they carry most of the brunt of the conflict. This has happened after a peace agreement has been signed. So it means that it is a very dangerous indicator showing that while we struggle to get women issues into the agreement, its implementation is at stake.
You work with women in South Sudan, and some of them are already working as negotiators, as peacemakers, as mediators. Did some of your own members have to flee?
Yes. When the July violence erupted in Juba, even the activists had to run for their own safety. And we realize it is something that we have been talking over and over on, that if women do not step up and try to address this issue of conflict, it will get to our own doorsteps. And that's exactly what happened. I was talking to my colleagues after the July, and one of my colleagues was telling me that, you know what you said previously is now true. Today, we are all the same as women who are suffering, who have to run for their lives. And there is nothing we can do but to continue calling for peace. I see myself as vulnerable. I cry. But then what else can I do?
You are still in Juba?
Yes, I'm in Juba.
Are you safe?
It is getting so difficult. There are a lot of threats. But working for peace, these are some of the risks that activists, not only me, not only EVE organization, but many others out there take for the sake of peace. Some are being intimidated, some are being killed, some have been displaced, some have to leave the country, some of them, their families are being threatened and killed. So it's a big risk that women peace activists are taking for the cause of peace.
The risk of outright violence against the LGBT community is growing in cities around the world, but hopes are high that a newly adopted agenda for future urban living will create more safe spaces. That's the view of Cicely Belle-Blaine, a Canadian youth worker, who was one of the delegates to the recent Habitat 3 conference on the future of cities, which took place in Quito, Ecuador. The new urban agenda adopted at the conference in Ecuador does not specifically mention lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender issues, although it calls for greater inclusion of minority groups. Ms. Blaine told Matthew Wells why her delegation had lobbied for the inclusion of a so-called queer declaration.
Although the new urban agenda does have a lot of focus on inclusion and equality and making cities safer for everyone, if you don't specifically name certain communities, they will be forgotten and they'll be lost. So, because a lot of countries, for example, still have policies where being homosexual is illegal, you can go to jail or you can even be murdered, because there aren't enough things within governing bodies like the United Nations that say, no, you can't do that, you can't have those laws, then they'll just carry on as they are. So I think now is a very integral time for this to happen. And the United Nations, separate from what we're doing here, have said that they've called for countries to now start decriminalizing homosexuality.
But to put it plainly, there is no direct mention of the LGBTI community in the new urban agenda.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, we knew we wouldn't necessarily get our words in time, but we thought it was worth a shot anyway, and that's why we came here, to kind of like support what we've said and like lobby for it. So even though it's not in there, I think the fact that we've managed to make so many connections while we're here and get so many different governments to actually listen to us when they're developing cities, when they're creating policy, in the back of their mind will be LGBTI people. And I think for us, that's a success of this.
Historically, thanks to the diversity of cities, they've normally been, or often been, sort of safe havens, if you like, for LGBTI people. I mean, is that something that you fear is going to go backwards unless the inclusion aspect of this new urban agenda is for real?
I think it's possible, yeah. Like, the reason for Habitat 3 is that so many people are moving to cities. So now a lot of that homophobia that sometimes we associate with more rural communities or more conservative communities is actually finding its way into cities. And I think cities are where you're more likely to find kind of like outright violence towards those communities. So, for example, in Canada, I would say being in a city is reasonably safe, and a lot of the LGBTQ youth that I work with, the ones who live in rural communities, are among the most at risk. But in other countries where they don't have such progressive policies, living in a city is some of the most dangerous, because that's where you're the most visible. And especially with like social media today, like, it's very easy to find people and target people. So I think cities are already in some ways dangerous places for everyone, and particularly youth. But I think there's also, along with that, comes the opportunity to create those safe spaces.
So in putting the kind of pledges into practice that have been made at Habitat 3, what are the key things that you think need to be front and centre for the LGBTI community?
In terms of implementation, cities looking at how their own governing works. And so, for example, we had a mayor on our panel just now, and she was talking about not just thinking about diversity, but thinking about celebration and thinking about how do we really honour and respect the communities that actually make up our population.
The cartoon and movie character Wonder Woman has been designated by the UN as an honorary ambassador for the empowerment of women and girls. The designation is part of a campaign in cooperation with DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers to raise awareness about Sustainable Development Goal No. 5 on gender equality. Wonder Woman, one of the most iconic female superheroes, will be used by the UN to engage new audiences about the Sustainable Development Goals. Vibhu Mishra asked Diane Nelson, president of DC Entertainment, how gender empowerment can be supported in the corporate world.
It's one of the things that has resonated with me personally as a woman in business, and women need to bring strength to deal with an industry that has not necessarily been balanced. But I think women also bring a sense of compassion and empathy to what they do that may be an advantage over men. There are plenty of men who bring the same thing, but Wonder Woman has to do that. She has to be, and she wants to be, about peace and love, but she's a warrior at heart. She's going to fight for what she needs to do and get behind whatever she believes in, and that's what we need to do in business and life.
At the moment, DC's current superhero lineup, especially when it comes to movies, is heavy on male superheroes. Are there any plans to highlight other female superheroes aside from Wonder Woman to help things balance out?
Sure, yes. The issue of diversity is top of mind for us in everything we do. We're really proud at DC that we actually have one of the strongest libraries of female superheroes within the business. And there are a number of them that we're always supporting in our comics. And you'll start to see more and more of them in media.
And how do you see the role of Wonder Woman in this campaign helping the UN and the international community make progress on the issue of women's and girls' empowerment?
The most valuable thing that any entertainment company can bring to organizations like the UN that are doing such important work is tools to bring awareness to the issues. And with Wonder Woman, again, you have an icon that means something to many, many people around the world. So through her iconic as well as the efforts that we'll bring in social media and the platforms that we have through Warner Brothers, DC, and Wonder Woman platforms, as well as using the character and imagery with agencies on the ground, we really believe we'll be able to enhance awareness and the conversation and therefore make it more effective.
Diane Nelson, president of DC Entertainment. And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Daniel Dickinson.